Time for a beer and a Ruby Murray.
Oh, you've tubbed up rice.
I've had a right enough of you and your Dawsons.
Oh, she sells seashells down at the Michael Barrymore.
I'm so sorry, Rob.
I parked it up the Khyber Pass.
Liberace.
Can you add a manoeuvre with Rob Bullocks?
Yes, indeed. I'm glad I'm here for this time of the week.
Yep, so am I.
Hello, Rob. Good
Hello,
morning,
Mikey. How are
the
you?
The esteemed Mr. Rob Bullocks has joined me, and what a topic this morning, Rob.
Well, before I get into it, I just want to say, when I first started doing this, on more than one occasion, I had absolutely no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah.
all I could hear in my head was the old blah 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 fish and chips scenario going on. And I used to dread either you or a listener phoning up asking me questions because I had no idea. But now, completely different kettle of fish.
A kettle of fish.
And this is how my mind works now. Thanks to you, I actually looked up what kettle of fish means. And it's English, of course, and it refers to long saucepans that have been used for centuries to poach whole salmon.
So once again, a long saucepans that have been used for centuries to poach whole salmon.
Whole salmon. And for some unknown reason, it became to be a phrase meaning new. And it was first seen in a novel by Henry Fielding in The History and Adventures of Joseph Andrews in 1742. He wrote, "Here's a pretty kettle of fish," cries Mrs. Towowes. And in The History of Tom Jones in 1749, "Fine doings at my house, a rare kettle of fish I've discovered at last."
My goodness gracious.
So there you go. So before then, I always used to think, before I started doing this, I couldn't get any new information in my head. I thought I knew everything I need to know. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, what do I need to know about all this other shit?
You're a man of the world. Well schooled within the comings and goings of the world.
But now, it's just, I can't look at, everything I look at, I've got to dissect it and try to work it out. And this leads me on to this one, which is something you sent me. Lakes can explode.
Yes.
Now, when I first read that, I thought that sounds really funny, but it isn't actually when I looked into it. Sometimes lakes do explode to disastrous effects. The two most recent natural disasters occurred in 1984 and 1986 in Lake Nyos.
Very recently.
Lake Monoun in Cameroon. What happened is a giant bubble of CO2 rose from the bottom of the lake, creating a massive tsunami. And in the aftermath, rescuers discovered that plant life had been flattened on the eastern shore by the wave, and 37 people were suffocating.
Like a big burp, or perhaps some sort of lake flatulence.
Have you ever see that thing, The Prisoner?
Yes.
You know, at the beginning when a big bubble comes up, that was my thing. What I thought it was like, but 2 years later, an even worse one happened.
Good God! In Cameroon as well.
Yeah, in Lake Nyos.
Let me just say something to you.
Yeah.
Esther is from Cameroon.
No, well, that explains that is, a lot.
We were just talking about Esther earlier on, the performer. She's from Cameroon. Well, she's partly Cameroonesque, Cameroonish.
Cameroonesque. But anyway, this one in 86, it's such force that people living in the highlands heard the huge boom. When they checked it out, it was like something out of a horror movie. Because CO2 is heavier than air, it rolled down the mountain through low-lying villages and to people's homes, and by morning...
What? Hang on, what?
Yeah, like this big...
Like a big bubble of CO2.
It went through people's homes, killing 1,700 people and 3,000 animals.
Wow!
Just...
A big rolling ball of CO2, just because it's so condensed.
Yeah, these explosions...
So how did it rise up to the surface then?
Well, this is what I'm going to explain
now. Thank you.
These explosions of deadly gas are called limnic eruptions, and they happen because carbon dioxide is dissolved into the water, and it's just like a bottle of, like that bottle of what you've got there. Right. Now, before you've undone it, there's nothing there. But as soon as you remove the cap, the bubbles appear out of nowhere.
I'll give it a little shake.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
If you listen carefully, you can hear the bubbles. Listen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
And the pressure's held in by the cap, right, which prevent the bubbles from escaping. Now, imagine the dormant gas at the bottom of the lake.
In this case, the water in the lake.
The water in the lake's holding it down, and then you can get something like, something disturbs the water, like, say, a big rock or something.
Or someone doing a bomb.
Yeah.
Sure.
And all hell breaks loose. I mean, the good news is there's only three lakes in the world where carbon dioxide seeps into them. And the biggest one, Lake Kiva...
As in, where's that?
That's in Botswana or somewhere like that.
Okay.
And that area of that lake is 2,700 square metres as opposed to the 1.5 square k's of the Lake Nyos one.
So was a big roller.
Which is a big roller. Now, it shores a home to approximately 2 million people.
Okay.
Right? Now, but fortunately, now what they've done
is... So they know that there's a possibility?
Yeah.
I've never ever heard of this before. This is fantastic.
But what they've done is now...
Terrifying.
Because of what's happened is they've got venting pipes in the lakes, which is... So the deep CO2 water is actually being brought to the surface in small amounts.
And what do they do with that? Just burn it off something?
Yeah, burn it off. Yeah.
Just give it to some trees.
Modern methods
allow it. Trees love it.
Controlled release of the gas. So that was...
Trees, I mean... Ooh. Yeah. That's amazing. Condensed CO2 rolling down a hill.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you sent me this and you didn't really... Had you ever looked into it yourself?
No, hell no. No, I just see the headlines and go, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. But it's not. It's quite scary. But
yeah, it's terrifying.
But thank God it's only in three lakes in the world.
Thanks God for that.
Yeah, I'm not talking about him again because I always get annoyed when I talk about him. So, yeah, that was it, really. I thought it'd last longer than that.
Let's just go over there once again. What happens in that one instance? So, like a big burp, like a big blob.
Yeah, big burp.
Becomes Tess, are you across this? Are you following?
I'm across it.
It's unbelievable.
You sound really knowledgeable on the topic, Rob.
Yeah, I know, because now I'm reading things and I'm actually understanding what I'm talking about, because before it was just nonsense. Because I'd switched my brain off.
Yeah. But now the neural pathways have been reactivated.
Kettle of fish.
Kettle of fish. What does it mean? Poaching whole salmon. What about that lake? The roll downhill. 1,700 people died. 1,700 or 7,000?
It was, 1,700. Oh, no, it was... Hang on, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, 1,700 people died and 3,000 animals.
What, squashed or just asphyxiated?
No, they were asphyxiated from the CO2, which carbon dioxide is a colourless gas, and its density has got more density than that of dry air.
So all you'd see as coming down the hill would just be...
It'd be like
the end of the world.
Yeah.
It'd be because you go like, hey, look at those people up the hill there, they just died. Yeah. I wonder what's got...
Bang.
You'd be in them. Yeah.
But it's a story like that.
How would you even identify that was the case? Like, how would when you get the pretty bunch of CSI kids coming in,
but
flying
couldn't
in
they,
with
couldn't they, like, when they do autopsies and that, wouldn't they, obviously, people are asphyxiated?
Yeah, but it's like, it's so strange. Suppose if it rolled down the hill, although a lake up the top of a hill is unusual for a start, isn't
it?
Yeah.
There'd be a bit of CO2 in that lake, wouldn't there?
But apparently there's only the three of them. Thank God it isn't. Because you imagine, like, that one where the area is so much bigger and there's 2 million people live there around the shores of that lake. That would just be...
One big fart and boosh, yeah. Go, he did, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so there's no... You can't do bombs or anything like that in the lakes.
No bombs?
No bombs.
Imagine that.
Skip stones
or
anything.
You'd definitely
like that.
Do it, though, wouldn't you?
Oh.
Like when you're a sketchy little kid, you'd be like, don't know how to do bombs. Why not? Because the whole lake will blow up. Oh, come on, let's just do one. You'd do one, wouldn't you? Tess, you'd do one.
I don't think I'd do one. I think you'd do one.
Yeah.
Loch Ness has got more water in it than all the rivers and lakes in the UK in England. That's just a little thing I thought I'd throw out there.
That's amazing.
Are we
that's
back
another
on
one.
The Loch Ness?
No, this is another fact.
This is just another fact.
So have you got another fact sheet now?
I've got another. Mikey sent me some stuff.
We're refreshing. We're refreshing all the time.
I couldn't sleep for 2 days afterwards.
I see.
I thought
maybe the original fact sheet was...
No, that fact sheet's still relevant.
That's still going.
But I mean, I think that's amazing. But that's amazing that Loch Ness... Yeah, no wonder Loch Ness is so full of mystery.
Yeah.
Because unless it's
not full of monsters.
But no, but unless all the other lakes and rivers are... All the lakes and rivers in the UK,
In England.
In England. Which is still as big as New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
All the lakes and rivers. There's more water in Loch Ness. What do you think about that, Tess?
I'm just wrapping my head around that one.
And one last one. The current American flag was designed by a 17-year-old as a class project. There you go.
That's a good fact, say, Rob.
Yeah.
Can you Adam and Eva with Rob Bullock?
She's undone a sea monster chain.
Thank you very much, my son.
Oh, no.